Melanie, for letting me know. I mean, you'd think it was my first Zoom meeting or electronic meeting. Sorry that I'm late. We were just on a call with Motorola. So just wanted to clarify a couple of things before we got on this meeting. Appreciate everyone. It doesn't look like we have a ton of people on. Looks like people are still gathering. Let me just see who we have. All right. Well, we're going to get started. We will, I think too, I'm worried. Well, everyone has this meeting. We all know this is a separate meeting from the other ones. So hopefully people will have still join. Hang on just a second while I forward it to the Chief Smith. Melanie, why don't you start with 911 and go with your updates?
On the 911 side, we have our final punch list item that's coming up for completion, and it's I3 reports through ECATS. We have a training plan for Monday for the PSAPs. It's going to be like 20 to 30 minutes. And once we get that done and signed off, then we will be lucky to be at the end of our punch list, which is good. It's been 4.5 years. So we're really excited for that to see what that looks like. We're also sponsoring a NENA CMCP class for the PSAPs the last week of February. So I'm working hard on that roster to make sure that we have a full class for all of those PSAPs waiting to hear back from about 6 to 7 to see if they want their sponsored seats. If they don't, then we're offering some seats to additional seats to other PSAPs that want to utilize that. It's a management course that is part of the minimum standards and best practices on our website. So we're pretty excited about that. Other than that, things are pretty good on the 911 side.
Good. Thank you. Dan, why don't you address the BDAs and the number of applications and just in general what we're seeing what's going on in the on that front?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. The BDA activity has been very active. I met a few weeks ago with some fire marshals for some training down in Orem and had some really good conversations with those folks. The majority of the fire marshals have gotten together and they are starting to get on board with making certain that communications are available in any new construction before they'll give permits of occupancy. Last week, I think I had somewhere around 39 to 45 applications that came in just in the 1 week. So it's good to see that. One that people are recognizing they really do need coverage in their buildings because we've never guaranteed that. And two, they're actually following the proper procedures and registering them with us so that if at some time in the future we have an interference problem, then we can look at the list and see who has those installed, and that helps us eliminate those as problems. So that's pretty much where we're at. We're seeing quite a few agencies that had coverage previously and then didn't. And it turns out they just hadn't had their BDAs changed over to the new system. And that has been progressing quite a bit the last few weeks as well. So that's pretty much it, Tina.
Awesome. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, Dan is the person we've had a lot of people reach out and given, and we've provided them the name of Jared Vance, who works for Hunt Electric. We've done that just because he's been so engaged with us. You guys may remember, I think it was the State Fire Marshals, the conference that they invited Jared to, and he did a big presentation about a year ago. or a little bit over a year ago. So he's not the only person who can do them. He's not the only provider, but he definitely is the most engaged and has done the most work with us. So we're happy to see that we've had. So overall, I think we will just kind of go into overall the main things that we've been hearing over and over are specific issues that people are saying with coverage issues and missing audio and just different behavior with the radios. With every radio, we have said over and over, you have to have the latest firmware. It's probably been the most surprising element of this project to me, that the radio firmware has been so outdated. We've seen Motorola radios with version 9 and a whole slew of them with version 14. And then everywhere in between that, we are recommending version 34 on the Motorolas. We got some pushback, not pushback, but we had some feedback, I should say, that the 34 is the latest version. There's a rumor going around that that version has not been tested. And that, you know, if you load that on your radio and it bricks it, that the Motorola will charge you $600 to, unbrick your radio. So I want to debunk a couple of those rumors. We just got off the phone. Phil and Mike and I got off the phone with six people from Motorola, one of which was a tech support person who is over the division that does the releases and does the tech, the writing of the firmware and the updates. And because I needed to confirm with them, I was really confused why Motorola would put version 34 out there for customers to grab and update to if it had not been tested. But what I've been told with 100% certainty from Motorola is that they have not only tested it, but they've put thousands and thousands of hours into testing that, as they do with any release that they put out. Version 34 is 100% tested and 100% available out there, and they're recommending to go to it. And so so there's two pieces to that. So 34 is valid. It is a good one. It has been tested. It does, the 34, the notes, the release notes for version 34, I will be sending out with my newsletter that I'm hoping to get it out today, but highly probable for sure by tomorrow. It's written. We want to add a couple more things to it to address this version 34 rumor that's going around, or, you know, concern, I should say, not a rumor. But it has been tested. We do have the release notes, or we will have the release notes that we will be sending out with the newsletter. So you can see, if you're a Motorola customer, what the features that they've added to that version and then the bugs that they have fixed. With any version update of any firmware and software, of course, it fixes bugs. One thing that we're seeing with the older versions of Motorola is that it's causing issues with the missing traffic. You know, you'll have a couple people standing right next to each other. One person will get the radio transmission and two won't, or three will and one won't, or whatever. And so the first thing we've had agencies do when they've called and reported issues is had them verify the firmware and update the firmware. Also in the newsletter will be a document, and we'll kind of go through that really quickly, just to kind of skim through it. We won't go into it in the detail because you'll be getting a copy of that through the newsletter. But the firmware updates can be done by your agency for very low cost. We have links in the document that we're going to be sharing that will have a link to cables that you can purchase on Amazon. And I just ordered some last night, and one of them will be here by tomorrow, and one of them, the mobile, I think will be here by tomorrow, and the portable will be here on the 27th, or vice versa. So they're really pretty cheap. You don't need a dongle. You just need these cables and then the firmware. And so we will walk through that in the document. Now, when the other part of what was said about version 34 is that if it screws up your radio, it will cost $600 for Motorola to fix your radio. The part of that is true, but it doesn't relate just to version 34. It's anytime you're doing a firmware update, if you do not have a full battery on your radio, or your vehicle shuts off power during a firmware update, that will cause your radio to brick, and it will cost you $600 to get your radio unbricked by Motorola or by any vendor. I don't know what every other vendor is, but I just to address what's being said right now is the $600 is a real thing, but it doesn't have anything to do specifically with version 34. It's any version of firmware. If you brick your radio, Motorola will charge you $600 to unbrick it. So, but that comes from you losing a power source mid firmware update. There was a comment in the chat. Let me go to it really quick and see what it said. Is there a reason that wasn't checked when you say it came through to each agency? So this is one of the things that UCA has been sending out in newsletters, talking about at chiefs meetings, to that the agencies are responsible for their radios in terms of updating the firmware, make sure the flash code is updated to the degree they want it, if they needed encryption, to add encryption before cutover. So it is not something that we do because we don't own the radios. The agencies are responsible for the radios, and so it's been on them to update. I know that UCA put out, redistributed a letter that Motorola had written to all Motorola customers in 2022 advising of this. One thing we've also talked about is retuning your radios, having your radios tuned. I don't know that very many have done that, but I will say that the people, the agencies that we know that have had radios tuned have come back and said that they have stronger signals than the radios that are tuned have stronger signals and are better than the radios that have not been tuned. UCA does not tune radios, Chief Middleman. That is something that Motorola does. I will tell you, though, that Phil and I had a conversation on Tuesday late afternoon to say, let's learn how to tune them and teach our agencies how to tune them. Maybe we buy the equipment and let our agencies borrow it. Like, we're all in on trying to help you guys make sure your radios are in the very best position to get to work the best that they can on our system. Obviously, it's in our best interest, and it's also in your best interest as agencies. So there are a couple of things that we don't do. We don't do flash upgrades, we don't do tuning, and we don't do firmware updates. Now, a couple of you, we have come out and done some reprogramming, and we've shown your people how to do it. But the document that we're sending out, like I said, will have the link to the version of version 34 that we would recommend the update your Motorola's to. It also talks about L3H radios. A lot of those radios, you know, when UCA purchased those a couple of years ago, excuse me, we purchased them and then they sat in our warehouse for a year, year and a half. And then you guys purchased them and then you guys could not use them for, you know, in some cases, 6 to 9 months. But from the time you got them till the time we cut your county over. And so those are also outdated in firmware. We would recommend that you go to 17. We know that there's some issues. There's a significant bug in version 16 of the firmware for L3H. Phil, do you want to share your document that we're going to be sending out?
Yeah.
So there you go. Thank you. So while he's pulling that up, I want to reiterate that this is the primary thing that we're seeing is that we have a lot of radios on very outdated firmware. We've seen version 9, a lot of version 14, 16, 17, 20, 23. We have seen it all. And it's, you know, of course your radios are not going to work, and they're not going to work well on those versions. We know that in past versions of Motorola firmware updates, there's patching, there were bugs that caused issues when the radios, when talk groups were patched and things like that. So this document, and before we kind of go through this, what I also would like to say is I am not sitting here for 1 minute saying our system is perfect and what we've got today is what we'll have in 6 months from now or what we'll have a year from now. We absolutely have a punch list of items that we are going through every single day. We meet at 9 a.m., go through the punch list, look at anything new that came in, prioritize it, assign it out, and then get working on it. Many of us work basically our entire days and half the nights working on only radio stuff, trying to improve what we have and resolve some of the issues, because of course we do have issues. Technically, we did complete cutover. Well, I say that we completed all the counties cutover last Friday. We completed the Salt Lake County Jail. We still have the prison to cut over. That will happen on, in theory, that will happen January 7th. And then technically L3H wanted to start burn-in on January 8th. And we said, no, we have some things that we want done, that we want resolved, that we think are high enough priority that we don't want to start burn-in until those are done. And they've agreed to that. So we absolutely are continually working on to, you know, little bugs and things, settings. Sometimes, you know, there's some things that haven't worked great. And we've gone back and said, well, this is a setting that we learned about in training and thought this was a good way to go. And we've made an adjustment to, you know, the back end to the setting or whatever. So there's a million things going on. I don't want anyone to think that I'm just sitting here on this call saying, it's all you guys, update your firmware and everything will be okay, because that's not what I'm saying. I just want to be super clear that we are and will be for months and months and months to come continually working, and probably years, quite frankly, to include extending coverage, additional sites and things like that. So another thing, we have had some RF specialists and engineers in from L3H on the ground and going through and reoptimizing and doing a bunch of technical tests on our different sites that we've seen either legitimate trouble behavior or things that we are that we think, you know, there might be an issue with that site. And so maybe we're getting alarms on the back end and things like that. And so we will forever be fine tuning our towers and sites too, in addition to adding new sites. So I just want to be super clear that what I'm saying here. So as far as this document, this will be going out with the newsletter that we'll be sending out. You can see if, you know, symptoms, and then some troubleshooting steps that we're asking you to go through. Okay, will you forward to the next one, Phil? Again, more symptoms, more troubleshooting steps. Page 3 is how to find the firmware version on your radio. So in case you don't know, we've got this little quick tutorial on how to find what the firmware version you're on. And then if you'll click to the next one, Phil. And then here are the steps to updating your firmware. And as you can see, it's very specific. Do not power cycle the radio until it's completely finished. Keep the power source. And then next page, Phil. And then here's a how-to on how to update your firmware on your L3H radios. Next page. And here's some information. We'll also be sending out a document if you believe you have coverage issues. One of the elements, we have a form to fill out that asks very specific questions, of which includes, thank you, Phil, which will include what site you're affiliated to and the receive RSSI. And so we've walked through on this document of how to validate that. So you can put that number in, because we can tell, you know, if the signal strength and that, we might already know, maybe we have issues or we're seeing issues, but we don't know that they're also impacting the user until we get reports of it. So we've got some very specific information that we are requesting. Of course, you can see in column O, the model of the radio, and P, the firmware of the radio, because that is, if we get something and someone sends something in and says we have a Motorola and our firmware version is 12, the first call we're going to make is back to them to say, update your firmware, go back to that same location and make sure that it's still a problem, because firmware, updated firmware does mimic coverage issues. Phil, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, as Tina pointed out, there there have actually been specification changes to the P25 spec that have changed how the patching and simul-select occur. And so that is one of the main things that we've seen as well, is that if the PSAP that you're, or the dispatch center that you're being dispatched by, is using patching or simul-select, and you have, you know, an older version of firmware, that's one of the specific trouble areas that, that we've seen occur. So right now we have most of the PSAPs and whatnot not simul-selecting and not patching. Maybe most is not the right term. It's probably 50-50 is my guess. But it depends on what mix of radios they have in the area, what brand they are, that sort of thing. In the future, we're going to be adding, you can see that we have Motorola and we have L3Harris to this. There just wasn't time. We want to get this information out now. But we will absolutely be adding Kenwood to this and you know, similar instructions for all of that. I will say that with regard to L3Harris, you will need a dongle to open the RPM software to be able to update the firmware on that. So you'll have to have a cable and a dongle, and we've got the L3Harris rep that can provide that dongle. If you are going to go purchase that dongle does need to be shipped to us prior, so that we can perform our steps on that dongle, and then we ship it back to you at that point. Let's see, what else is there to be said? Yeah, Motorola, no dongle required, just need a cable. And there's actually some YouTube videos on Motorola that are real handy, so we've included those at the top. That's, I guess, all I'd add. Yeah,
thank you so much, Phil. So, Chief, you put in a chat about a class and doing maybe a statewide initiative on how to learn how to tune the radios and things like that. I think that's a great idea. We have no problem trying to facilitate that class, and like I said before, I don't know what equipment it takes. I don't also know the expertise, you know, I don't know if it's something that, you know, if a class will do, but it's certainly something we're going to be looking into, even though, and I don't like this phrase, it's not our responsibility, but we care too much about the experience you guys are having and the safety of our customer and the field units using our radio system, that we want to make sure that we can provide you every tool that you can have to try and enhance the experience and that you guys are having with the radio. So it's definitely something we'll be looking into. If I'm being completely honest, probably not going to be something that we report back on until sometime in January, but I would love to have some information on that. And I mean, I would love to have the manpower and the bandwidth to do all of your, you know, to continually make sure everyone's updated on your firmware and things like that. But what I've recommended to some of the police chiefs I've talked to is, hey, maybe when you go do, you know, qualify on your weapons at the range, maybe that's when you, you know, have your officers turn in their radios to the radio guy sitting right there and have them update firmware while you're qualifying on your weapons. And for the fire departments, you know, come up with a time where every year you're looking to make sure, you know, before you're training, I mean, fire departments train every day, all day, but, you know, certain time of year that you could go and say, maybe your fitness test, you turn in your radio while you're running on the treadmill or something and make sure that all of the radios are up to date. I think that this is something that, to be totally honest with you, I mean, as long as I've been in the business, you know, almost 34 years, like I've never heard until we started this project, even when I was at the Weber PSAP, is tuning a radio. And I've never really worried about updating your firmware until, you know, really getting here and listening to and seeing, and now seeing what we've seen. I don't know how we could have messaged it anymore, but I think that, I don't know if a personal phone call to every chief before we cut over, I don't know, but it's caused so many problems and it's so much frustration on the part of our agencies, and I totally get it. But it's so critical to make sure that everyone's updating their firmware. So Mike V, what would you like to add?
No, I agree with everything that's been said. We did get the release notes, so that'll be in that document. I just forwarded that on to our team, so you'll have that. Yeah, as far we continue to program, like Tina said, so we're still out there doing that. We'll continue to do that until everything's to the way that it needs to be, and our team has been all in, and we'll continue to be all in to get and help as much as we can when we're out there to teach, or to, you know, if we find a radio that's really having issues, that we try and take the time to do some updates or fix those things so that you can even test to see that. And Tina's been good about making sure that we're, you know, getting radios that are past firmware out and updated so that agencies can go test them. And like I said, I think that will this continue forward. We appreciate the as a programming team, all of the support from the agencies. So it's been helpful to have places out of the cold, and the hospitality has been great. And we want to make sure that we return that favor in the product that we're giving you. And so that's what the UCA team is about, trying to get that to where you expect it. So other than that, yeah, we'll just keep, if you have any programming needs, we ask that you can continue to send those to programming at UCA911.org. And we're trying to track those and get to those as they come in, and work through those processes now that we've kind of shifted directions into making sure everything's fixed and working right. So that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Go ahead, Gene, or whoever is there with you.
Hi. So just a couple quick questions. Just making sure we're not missing anything. As you know, we moved everything to version 30 or firmware 32. We're happy to go to version 34. We also then went hands-on to, you know, switch the scan from 3 seconds to zero. Is there anything that we're missing? Is there any other thing that, as we're happen to go hands-on and touching each radio again? Just want to make sure I'm not going to miss. I know you don't have there anything, any other best practice other than tuning, firmware, the 3 second rule that we ought to be looking at.
Definitely check in the personality, the trunking personality, to assure that if the radio is TDMA capable, that it is marked for TDMA. If it is TDMA and marked as FDMA, you may have issues, so make sure you check the TDMA as well. And then you've pretty much covered anything else. If you're having issues with radios, look through the trunking personality just to assure that the talk groups have been entered into the data correctly. But those are, you hit most of them, but those are a couple extras.
Okay. And then just another quick question. With our partner that we've been working with, Gold Cross doesn't have a dongle, but we're hearing that the dongles are expiring on the 31st. Is that going to be renewed, or what do we have to do to continue on with being able to program?
The Motorola dongles? Yeah. So they can be set up for the agency specifically. I know some agencies have had the ability to program, so we just need to make sure those are updated. We're still having internal conversations, and Tina might want to jump in on that more, but as to how that process is going to go moving forward and how long those extend. But
Mike, this is Gene Moffitt. You know, it's absolutely imperative we get to the point that we have our own ability to do that. We can't place this on you guys. The way I look at it is our responsibilities, the radios are ours, and we need to make sure that they're on the top of things, but we cannot do it without that information from you guys and that dongle. So that's a sticking point with me that I need to get resolved.
So the plan is, and has been, is that we would like for our agencies to purchase the dongles to be able to load the code plugs that we send to you. And so what we are not renewing after the first of the year are the keys, the system keys, which is allows a person to go in and build their own code plug. And the reason why for right now is that, and so there's a difference between a dongle and keys. The keys will not be extended because it allows for a person to go in and select any talk group in our system. which there are, if I remember correctly, over 2,700 talk groups. But a lot of those are encrypted. A lot of those are, and even the ones that are not, there are agencies that don't necessarily want everyone to listen to their talk groups, especially the encrypted ones and some of the car-to-car ones. Agencies just want to have those for their agencies. And so if with people that do have keys, they are literally allowed to go in and build a code plug and grab any talk group that they want. And we cannot control it from because they have system keys. So that is why we're expiring the keys December 31st. But all that means, Gene, is that if you need changes to your code plug, you can email programming at 911 or ucn911.org, and let us know what your needs are for your code plug. We will build your code plug and send it, and you guys will be able to load that and clone it onto your radios. You will still be able to have the ability to update your radios as you want them to be done. Our biggest concern right now is that we cannot partition the system to the degree where we can say, okay, for Gold Cross and their key, these are the talk groups that they can select from. It's basically a full buffet of all 2,700 talk groups that we have in our system, and you could grab any of them. And I'm not saying that you would intentionally, but there's just, but you might think, oh, that would be a great talk group to have. But for whatever reason, a chief doesn't want everyone to have that talk group. So that is what we're trying to do, is preserve the talk groups and the rights for chiefs to be in charge of their talk groups. UCA is not in charge of them. We've said all along, if someone comes in, you know, if Murray Fire comes in and says, hey, I want all of UHP's car-to-car talk groups, I can tell you right now, Colonel Rapich is going to say no. He doesn't want people to have those. Those are his. But he'll let you have all of the ones, you know, the regular talk groups that they have. And so we've had people ask for talk groups. We've got had them get permission from chiefs to add them to their code plugs, because we're trying to respect all of you as chiefs and agencies to maintain the integrity of your talk group. So that is why we're expiring keys at the end of the year, but we're not expiring dongles.
Oh, Gina, no, I appreciate that. We just need to be with us, and we're happy to work with Michael. He's been great with us to work with that, realizing that we're covering so many areas of the state. And yes, definitely, approval to get into talk groups is mandatory, because we've even had people in hospitals say, I want all of your information to clear across the system. And that is not something that we want to do either. So it just has to be a coordinated effort, realizing that I have so much of the state to cover. And happy to work with you guys. I know that you've had tremendous pressures on you, and hopefully at some point it'll settle down, and we appreciate everybody working with us on those.
Thanks for understanding, Gene, and we appreciate that. You know, obviously it has been insane busy, and our turnaround time, well, I can say for sure our turnaround time over the last 4 months and maybe even the last 6 months to a year has not been great because of what we've been under, you know, because of what we've been trying to accomplish and things like that. So, certainly appreciate the patience with that. I'm going to go to Phil first, because he's had his hand up for quite a while. And then Chief Middleman, I'll have you go if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was Gene who was asking about when we're touching every single radio, what's, you know, are there any other things we should look at? Yeah, this document will cover that. But I just want to go ahead and point out that we should be checking to make sure that the antennas are in the 700 meg public safety band and capable of that as well. If you have any vehicles, just in general, look for antennas that are, you know, poorly designed, little teeny things are not going to be, you know, picking up signals in rural areas and that sort of thing. You need a big antenna to do things like that. And we even see it here, you know, in the valley where they'll put sticker antennas that are, I don't know if they're fractals or, you know, but they're small stick-on antennas that go on the windows, and they just don't perform well. The vehicles have tint on the windows that doesn't help. It's all metallized tint, and it acts like a Faraday cage. Those are things to look at as well when you're touching every radio. Thanks.
Bill, thank you for that. I think it's very important. That's an item we haven't, I think our antennas are all right, but we will definitely check on that. We haven't had a lot of problems, if any. I think we've been fortunate, but we appreciate any of that information from you folks.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks. We'll good points, Bill. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chief Middleman.
So the dongle that we had got from L3 on our radios, you guys had finally gotten a hold of and then restricted it down to where it needed to be and then got that dialed in. When the restrictions happened, it didn't give us all the options to program in the radio, such as like our colored channels on the lights and so forth. So who do we go to get that those options released? Because it was like a handicap dongle in the fashion of like restricted too far down. So I'm not for sure if that's Phil or Mike or you or.
How about get it to us and we'll get in there and get it all figured out and get it dialed in for you, Chief. Definitely don't want to handicap the features that you can program with the dongle. So get it back to us. And I apologize that you have to get it back to us. But if you will, we'll get that worked through. Maybe you can have someone come sit down with us. We can just get it dialed in while whomever is with us.
Yeah. Then one other note. Can you touch on my understanding is like the system that's going doesn't allow for the radio beyond to actually operate, but it does allow possibly for the Wi-Fi system in the radio. Like on my L3s, I can operate a Wi-Fi, but say, for example, if I wanted to put a SIM card in my L3s to try and increase that ability, that part of the system is not either built out or I'm speaking in an area that I don't know because it's the install feature. So can you kind of give us a timeline, a layout or any information that you have on that?
Absolutely. Bill and I just had a meeting with L3H yesterday, getting some more information. This is absolutely something we want to roll out, Chief, and we would love to do it ASAP, but we're trying to crawl, walk, run. This is definitely, I would say, in the walk phase of things. We would love to start, you know, we would love to have a big training on this with our agencies because they can also do it on their, you know, they also have these options on the Motorola side, depending on your radio, but I'll let Phil address that. But it's most definitely something that we would like to see sooner rather than later. We've just had to pace ourselves. I mean, we've been breathing through a straw underwater for a couple of months. So it's definitely on our list of things we would love to get that out there to maximize the system that we've installed. But Phil, do you want to add to that?
Yeah. So, you know, to be clear, there's kind of two different functions of Beyond. So there's the Beyond that's on your cell phone, Beyond that's on your, and that can go on an iOS or it can go on an Android. And then you can run Beyond actually on a Windows computer with a headset if you wanted to do that as well. And all of those we're taking, I guess, requests for user IDs and whatnot and processing through those. So we're happy to take those requests and we're doing that now and have done. And I think we have, I don't know, probably somewhere between 800 and 1,000 users on there right now that have access to that part of it. The part that we haven't enabled is the Beyond on the phone the Beyond application on the radio itself. There's a couple reasons for that. Well, one Tina mentioned, which is we're just so busy right now that it's we're having a hard time just keeping up with our current requests, let alone like adding features and more things to troubleshoot. And one of the other reasons, and it kind of follows from that, is that we're obviously trying to get the RF side of things working really well. And so if we've got users roaming onto Wi-Fi and LTE and things like that, it muddies the water even further with, you know, RF troubleshooting and which system that you were actually connected to. Were you connected to the RF system or were you connected to the Beyond side of things? And so right now we have it all uniformly RF if it's a radio. And so until we get the radio system stable and we have firmware updates on the radios and everything's working, like we want it to, and we're able to enter the burn-in phase of the project, then I think we're going to keep kicking that one down the road. And I think it benefits everyone to do so. The other reason for potentially delaying that is it also plays into, in order to configure a Wi-Fi on your radio or an LTE network on your radio, you have to have the proper keys. So it plays into the key discussion and what features can be turned on and off. And Mike may know more about that than I do as far as if that's in the user allowed areas or if you have to have an actual like full on system dongle to have that happen. But that's another reason that it amps up the fray with the key situation and, you know, the different features that have to be turned on and off and whatnot. Mike, do you have any comment on that? Do you know if those Wi-Fi and LTE are in the user serviceable areas?
Anything that's in options is available. The problem that we run into on the Harris dongle specifically is that you basically provide the range of IDs that they're allowed to program on the radios, but there's a lot of features that are actually within like sets and other areas that are not, that are locked down, that won't ungray. So that's something that I need to look to see where the beyond is, but I believe it's in those sections. So we'll have to determine if that's something that can be addressed further.
It's a significant thing. It took us like 3 days to get it running with support from L3 Harris. It's not something like you just drop an LTE chip in it and it just goes. It's reprogramming radios. It's you know, working with the cell phone vendor. It's a lot of different things. And so until we have a good process down where we're comfortable handing it off to folks, then I think that's, you know, that's another reason that we're delaying that one.
So one more thing to just kind of add to let the whole group as well, I've got all three of you. We had updated our firmware on Tuesday to the 19 on the L3. And Just as we're with a group, we're still, I told Mike this last night, but we're still very much struggling with our comms on the L3 radio versus the Motorola radio. And it hasn't changed anything, but we'll be working with you more on that. I don't think we need to discuss that unless, you know, you guys need a brain trust out with all of us.
Well, we'll have all the same questions that are on that sheet. So that'll be the first order of business.
Yep.
Hey, are there any other questions? Go ahead, Gene.
Just one more quick question. We've been holding back some radios knowing that we didn't have them on the system before. Are we good now to put in requests for to add new equipment on? I know we were waiting until after the 12th or whatever it was. Are we okay now to do that? Are we still buried?
No, you guys can add additional radios. Mike V, is it just that we need to send him some IDs so he can program them, or what does he need?
Yeah, so we would just need to know the number of the serial numbers. We would have to activate IDs in the system and then just get you the IDs added to that range. And then once you have that. So the nice thing about the change that was made recently within the last 9 months is that your ID range is within it. So we just need to activate that many more IDs. So if you can give me a number, and if you can get me serial numbers, that's great, because the system requires the serial number, or
okay,
it's preferred to have the serial number, I should say.
We'll do that. Thank you.
Yep. And Dan made a point. Dan, why don't you talk about the radios that are allowed on the system so they can confirm the radios? I think also Chief Smith had a question about that. So Dan, you want to address radios that are allowed on the system?
Yeah. So a lot of the XTS and XTLs that were on the old system were grandfathered in. But anybody buying used ones, those will not be allowed on the system going forward. Any radio that you put on the system has to have phase two capability. It's simply because of it's simply more efficient and allows us to have more capacity in crowded areas. And where we have so many new agencies and users coming on, we need to protect that capacity.
Chief Smith, does that answer your questions? Or Dan, Chief Smith's question was, when will the older non-P25 compliant radios that many of the public works departments are still using no longer work on the new system?
There aren't any because they have to be P25 phase one or two to work on the new system at all. So right. If they've got MCS 2000s or MTS 2000s, those did not get programmed during cutover because they simply are not P25.
Right. So, Chief, maybe is the question maybe when will we phase out those phase two radios?
Yes.
We don't have a timeline right now. All we would say is, to Dan's point, is that as long as we have phase one radios on the system, our capacity is half. It's basically equivalent to the capacity we had on our legacy site most of the time. But as soon as we are completely in phase two, we will immediately double our capacity. So for the number of channels per site. So we don't have a date of when we're going to say yet when those XTS or XTLs or non-phase two radios will expire and we will no longer have them. I don't know if we'll do that. I mean, we would have to for sure at least give a year or something like that. But we haven't even talked about that yet just because we're barely cut over. So I don't have an answer, but I would say that there's other radios that different models, and you guys already know this, but different models, like I think with Harris, there's like a 45 and a 90 that doesn't have, 50 bajillion zones and the capacity, some of the features that law and fire necessarily need that are a lot cheaper that could be purchased too. And I'm sure Motorola and Kenwood have equivalent to that. I'm not, pushing Harris radios. I'm just off the top of my head, I can think of that model for them. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Chief Middleman.
I noticed Elise Haggerty out at VEC is on this as well. And so this might be a good time to connect. I think what Phil mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I think it was Phil, that the dispatch centers, there's a little bit of a difference in a connection on throughout the dispatch centers or the PSAPs with operating Motorola's versus L3. Is there something that possibly with our radios or with L3 where the majority of people operating out of VEC are using Motorola's, I think, except for us? Can you expand upon that just a little bit, anyone, on how we could connect best with Elise to see what things we could try or attempt for our L3s to improve?
I think my comments were specific to when we've seen like patching or simul-select issues manifest, it's been with Motorola radios on old firmware. But I don't know, I mean, I suppose you could call into dispatch if you're having trouble with a radio that's bonking and have them unpatch the channel or not simul-select it. But I don't think they're doing much of that anyways. So that's, I guess, the only thing I'd say there, yeah.
Thank you for helping with what you can.
Yeah, not a problem.
Chief, I'll call you in a couple hours. We can talk more about it, okay?
Okay, thank you, Tina.
Yeah, we have an all-staff meeting starting shortly, so we'll call you after that. Is there anyone else that has any questions?
This is Alan, maybe a quick one. Now that you're through with your major cutover stuff, does that release some of your techs? I mean, what's the possibility of kind of starting back to the state again and helping us with some programming issues and stuff that we used to be able to get technicians to actually come and help us with.
TD, you're on mute.
Sorry. Lieutenant, what's the, are you trying to just do a reprogram or what are you wanting to do?
Well, yeah, I've got two or three radios. I mean, I've sent them in a couple of times to programming the request, but I didn't know if we just need to get somebody to come and look at them or haven't been able to get the files back yet. And my phones are still sitting there now that you're starting to work through your pile of email requests.
Yeah, can you forward it to me and we'll look at that and get back with you.
Okay. And then maybe just a clarification in my mind. So all this dongle talk and key talk, is that heavily weighted towards the Motorola stuff? And so the dongle I've got for my L3 Harris stuff, I'm going to be able to continue to program those and do what I've been doing. Never yes. had a dongle with the Motorola stuff, really. Just, I mean, I can download the program. I can make changes and put it right back on that radio. And then these two or three radios that I've got problems with is, there was a couple of radios that were not here available when we did cut over, and so they haven't been updated. And then one that I updated to TDMA after it was programmed, so now it's not working properly. So I just need to get, I guess, the updated files sent to me, and I can load them onto the radio.
Yeah, so. Just forward me the email, Lieutenant. Okay. We'll get that back out to you. Okay. Sorry for the delay. And yeah, the dongle you purchased is not a wasted money. You'll be able to continue doing everything you're doing today. Tomorrow, so no worries on that.
Okay, no, I appreciate what you guys doing. The Big Water Marshal, he was happy as could be. He said, "Tell you thank you," and he was pretty excited about getting a couple of radios. So thanks for helping us with that.
No, that's good. Happy to help. All right, is there anything anyone else has, or any questions or comments or concerns? Okay, well, I appreciate everyone jumping on these. We don't have one scheduled for January, but we'll put it on the calendar and get them scheduled. I don't know. I mean, actually, I would like to know feedback. Are these helpful? Do you guys like these? It's usually kind of the same crew that's on them every month. But if you like them, then we'll definitely continue them. But if you don't think that they're, you know, now that cutover is done, if you will, maybe you don't necessarily want them. We're just trying to be super transparent and available to our customers. That's why we've tried to increase the number of newsletters that have gone out this year and then hold these chat with the team. But if you guys want to continue them, then we'll set up some appointments for next year too.
I find them informative. I mean, probably long term, we probably need to do them for the next 20 years, but maybe another 3 or 4 months at least while you guys are still, like, you know, we've talked about a lot of things today with the Beyond and all that, the Wi-Fi and all that kind of stuff that's still ongoing. Maybe as those things develop, these are kind of informational for me.
I see some other comments in the chat section. So we'll keep going. We'll send them out. Probably just keep the same Thursday. On a Thursday at 11, like we have. So we'll send that link out so everyone has it. So thank you all very much for your patience. Thanks for your partnership. And we will keep plugging along and keep trying to get this system as good as it should be and can be. So we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you all.